It's good to be with you. We have children's worship, those that are 3 years to second grade. This is the time to Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." I guess that means he's upstairs. We've been talking about the Gospel of Mark. Today we're going to talk about Jesus' mighty deeds. There have been particular moments in history in which God's desires that evil has been challenged in a very public way. One of those was in the nation, our nation's civil rights movement. I don't know if you know this, but every year there is a march from CD Stamps to downtown. And frankly, that has been led by the black churches in town, and there has been a pitiful response, to be frank, from other churches. And I point the finger at myself. My family and I, we're going to show up at 8 o'clock tomorrow at CD Stamps, and we're going to march at 8:30, and I invite you to come along with us. Let's pray. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I am a sucker for cinematic justice. Those stories that you see late at night on TBS and TNT, where the good guy comes in and trounces the bad guy. I like rooting for Wyatt Earp to vanquish the Cowboys. Robin Hood to get the best of Prince John. For the Karate Kid to beat the Cobra Kai Dojo. For Rambo to rescue the POWs. For John McClane to give it to Hans Gruber. For Rocky to win the Cold War. For the Three Amigos to run El Guapo out of town. For the Resistance to blow the Death Star. For Dorothy to defeat the Wicked Witch of the West. For the Beast to clobber Gaston, and for Simba to trounce Scar. If you know what any of those are, or none of those are, stories about the good guy giving it to the bad guy. And I'm a sucker for those kinds of stories. The stories of good triumphing over evil. Restoring harmony. There's one particular movie, I probably wouldn't recommend it. Liam Neeson, you know, he's one of those action figures, right? He's in the movie Taken. Has anyone seen that movie? It's a story about Neeson. He plays this character. His daughter is kidnapped by terrorists in Europe. And he gets a phone call. And they say, "We've got your daughter." And there's this famous line in that movie, Neeson's character. He says, "I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you're looking for ransom, I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills that I have acquired over a very long career, skills that make me a nightmare for people like you." And Neeson goes on to say, "If you don't let my daughter go, I'm coming after you, and it won't be good." Well, those kinds of movies, probably shouldn't like them as much as I do, but just, yeah, you want to root for the good triumphing over evil. You want to see that one man wrecking crew go in and take out the forces of chaos that are at work. It's a storyline I'm guessing I'm not alone in enjoying. But it's a storyline that is similar to the one that Mark tells us today. Here's what I mean. We talked last week about Mark's story of Jesus. This story moves very quickly. I was listening to someone who said, 88 verses into the Gospel of Matthew or the Gospel of Luke, the shepherds are in the field. 88 verses into the Gospel of Mark, Herod and the Sadducees already want to kill Jesus. Mark's Gospel moves very quickly. He goes from John the Baptist being in the wilderness, then Jesus coming to him to be baptized. And out of that baptism, he hears, "You're my beloved." And then he goes straight back into the wilderness, and there the battles Satan, temptations, 40 days is with the wild beast. Then he comes out and he has this proclamation: "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news." And he calls his disciples. We talked about that last week. And then we get the story that Trace read to us this morning. Now we know that Jesus did many miracles, many deeds of power, and taught many things. But Mark is telling his story of Jesus. And Mark's got all these laid out on the table. But what Mark gives us, what Mark selects, how Mark tells his story, that's what I want us to listen to this morning. Why these stories? Why does Mark give us this narrative about what Jesus did? Here's what Mark chooses to emphasize: words of authority and deeds of power. Jesus goes into a synagogue, his first act, and he has mighty teaching. The people are amazed. And then mighty deeds of power, authority and power. That's what people see. That's what people hear. That's what the crowds witness. An evil spirit, an unclean spirit in the synagogue is kicked out. A fever is then cured from Simon's mother-in-law. A leper is healed. And then, the next story, which we didn't read, a lame man is let down from the roof there in front of Jesus in a crowded house. And Jesus tells him, "Your sins are forgiven. Get up and walk out." And he goes. These are mighty deeds of power. This attests to Jesus. Jesus' divinity. And growing up, that's what I thought these deeds were about. I thought they were about speaking to Jesus' identity. Yeah, He's the Son of God. How do you know that? Well, look at what He does. And while that's true, I think there is much more at work going on here. These deeds of power point to an ancient story. Mark opens his gospel, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In his next line, "as it was written in the prophet Isaiah." I want to read a piece from the prophet Isaiah. Wes, can we put that up there? From Isaiah 35. Listen to this. "Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk on that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. The ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. Sorrow and sighing will flee away." See, the prophet Isaiah speaks into a history, a period of Israel's history in which they are in exile. They are away from home. They are awaiting for God to show up and to do something magnificent. For God to restore. For God to rescue. For God to fix that which is broken. And Mark, in showing us Jesus' ministry, in showing us what Jesus does in Capernaum and throughout the land of Galilee, is saying this from the prophet Isaiah: God's rescue is here. In Jesus of Nazareth, God's restoration project has arrived. The deeds of power, the words of authority, God has come. Oppression meets its end. The demonic is defeated. Tables are turned on disease. People are restored. In the words of Isaiah, gladness and joy overtake them. Sorrow and sighing flee away. In C.S. Lewis's story, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, you remember the witch is, her power is cast over Narnia, and everything is in snow and ice. But the snow begins to melt, and the beavers who are taking the children say, the snow is melting because Aslan is on the move. That's what Mark is saying. Aslan, Jesus is on the move. Restoration and rescue is on the way. The restoration of humanity. See, that's what Jesus' miracles are about. They're about restoring humanity. A man who has an unclean spirit, restored. A woman who has a fever, restored. A leper who cannot even go into society, restored. A paralytic. What kind of life is that? Restored. Jesus' mighty deeds, mighty words, are about restoring and rescuing humanity. He says in Mark chapter 3, the story that Trace read to us, Jesus gets really ticked off because he's going around and he is teaching with authority, healing with power, and the scribes, the teachers of the law, the religious leaders of the day say, I'll tell you why he's doing it. He's doing it by the power of none other than Satan himself. And Jesus, I can just see him. Are you kidding me? And he says, how can Satan drive out Satan? A house that is divided cannot stand. And then he says this: no one walks into a strong man's house without first tying up the strong man. And then he takes whatever he wants, the plunder, and carries it away. It's a daring metaphor because in this parable, Jesus is the thief. Jesus is the one who goes in and binds up the strong man, Satan and his minions. Because, as the Baptist has already told us in Mark's narrative, Jesus is the stronger one. Jesus is the one who goes in and kicks the tail of Satan and says, get out. Says, I am reclaiming what is mine. It's the story of the Exodus. Pharaoh has taken what is God's, the children of Israel, and God goes in and says, no, these are not yours. I am taking what is mine. I bind you, strong man, because I am the stronger one. That's what Jesus is doing. I have a particular set of skills, I can hear Jesus saying, skills that make me a nightmare for disease, for demons, for death, for the forces of chaos that work in humanity's life. I am restoring. I am reclaiming. I am rescuing. That's what these stories are about in the ministry of Jesus. That was good news for Capernaum. And that is good news for Tullahoma. That is good news for Highland Hills. That Jesus bound Satan, and Jesus is still binding the strong one. He's still in the business of reclaiming what is His. Jesus is still in the business of restoring humanity's dignity. Christians are those who confess and then those who live and work in the authority and power of that stronger one. Strengthen the feeble knees. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, do not be afraid. Your God will come. He is coming to save. Isaiah's words, Jesus' words, our words. To be Jesus' disciples. You see, He has called His disciples, and they're walking around watching Jesus do this. We watch through the narrative of Mark. To be His disciples means that we join God in Jesus in His work of pushing back those forces of chaos that threaten creation, that terrorize His creatures. It's about liberation. It's about restoration of human wholeness. Jesus' kingdom come. As I talked about in class, the power of Satan has no creative power. It can only deface, it can only mar what God has created as good. The forces of evil can only take what God has created and distort it. It is God who can breathe new life into His creation. As Martin Luther King says, every human being is an heir to a legacy of dignity and worth. King could say this because King believed in a story in which God created the world and He made humankind in His image. And that's what we see in Jesus. We see God come near to reclaim the dignity and the worth of His creation. In Jesus, we see the image of God who comes to rehabilitate the image of God in us. In Jesus, we meet the authority and the power to proclaim to the evil forces their demise. To say by the Spirit of the Holy One of God, be quiet and be gone. The words of the stronger one. The kingdom. The power. That's Jesus. What would it look like? What would it look like if God's kingdom comes today? If God's rule was over Tullahoma, what would it look like if God was king here? Answering that question, what would it look like if God showed up and was in charge? What would He change? What would He challenge? What would He rebuke? That question is the beginning of the Christian vocation, the Christian mission. Answering that question tells us what we need to be doing. I think, Mark, as I've listened to this text this week, Mark tells us something. He hints at an answer of where to start answering that question. Jesus' first deed, His first mighty deed, the first thing that Jesus does in His ministry to heal is in a synagogue at Capernaum. A synagogue where He is teaching and an unclean spirit is there. And raises its ugly head and says, I know who You are. You're the Holy One of God. You've come to destroy us. And Jesus rebukes it and sends it away. But what in the world is an unclean spirit doing in the synagogue? The synagogue. That's the center of the religious life of this community. And yet, in the very heart of the synagogue is an unclean spirit. And I think that's Mark's way of saying that if we proclaim God's kingdom, if we talk about repentance, if we are going to be about the work of restoring God's good creation, where do we need to look first? Here. 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 There's an unclean spirit. Is there unclean spirits in our midst? Are there demons? Are there forces of chaos? Forces that work against God's kingdom in our midst? If Jesus were to show up here, what would He rebuke? What in my life needs to go? What in your life needs to go? Jesus comes announcing and enacting the kingdom. He comes liberating the oppressed. Repent. Change your life. Get on board. The Holy One is among us. And He wants to make His creation whole. He wants to make us whole. And He wants to start here. If there is something that you have sensed that Jesus wants you to repent of, there's an opportunity now for you to do that here with us. And I invite you to come as together we stand and we sing.